Kansas City Chiefs travel to the Chargers for what is set up to be a great Thursday night football game. Chiefs seeing their ups and downs, but these are two strong teams as of late. It's going to be a good one. Thoughts? Chargers, Jake.
How good is it going to be? Eckler's banged up. Rashawn Slater's out. I'm kidding. It's still going to be a great game. We already know that. For me, like, I'm just so happy that Keenan Allen turned his season around. And even though he missed last week with the big C, he's going to be back this week. And I'm just plugging him in instantly and not even thinking twice about it. He's averaging over 10 targets a game this year, you know, especially if Eckler's a little bit banged up. They clearly don't love Justin Jackson, Joshua Kelly, and Larry Roundtree like they love Eckler. So they're going to go, I think, a little bit pass heavy against a Chiefs defense that has been admittedly pretty good against pass catchers and quarterbacks over the past 2 weeks. But I'm pretty confident in just throwing Keenan in there. In games that he's played, he hasn't finished lower than wide receiver 20 since before week 8. I'm just putting him out there with full confidence and not even thinking twice about it.
Chiefs have the football. Pretty straightforward. They're playing better football, which is good to see. If I had a take here, I guess it'd be twofold. One, like, don't chase any of these wide receivers beyond Tyreek for the upside. I know it's like the upside's like, oh, it's the Chiefs, but like the Chiefs aren't what we've seen, first of all. Second of all, it's just an ugly split between Pringle, Gordon, Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson. There's just nothing there. So don't stop the prayers and the hope. It's not happening. The second piece is while Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back, it is a pretty close to even split with Darrell Williams. I mean, when Darrell Williams was in there, when CEH was out, he looked damn good. And because of that, we are seeing a bit of Darrell Williams still. While Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still the preferred back on the ground and does seem to be the preferred back in that red zone, Darrell Williams did run more routes on dropbacks than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There is some value there. This isn't me saying you can flex Darrell Williams, but he's one of those top-tier running back insurances that I like to have on the bench going into the playoffs. I usually like to clear my bench off a little bit of any backup players besides running backs, and Darrell Williams is one of those guys that I absolutely want to have on my bench. If he's on waivers, he is a high-priority add for me going into these playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly there. In playoffs, I mean, unless you have severe injuries, obviously with everything that's going on right now in the NFL, you know, with 100-plus players almost, it seems like on pace to miss games this weekend, you maybe get a little bit desperate. But traditionally speaking, when I'm in the playoffs, like, I'm playing my guys. I'm not getting too crazy, especially if I've had a lot of, you know, if I've been lucky and been healthy. Like, I'm not fading my guys just because of a slightly lesser matchup at this point in the season.
Yeah, and the reason I really want to bring Darrell Williams up is we did see Derek Gore, the third back there, go 9 for 66 and 1 and 2 for 23. But that was really just because the Chiefs were absolutely blowing out the Raiders, and they had no reason to be playing CEH or Darrell Williams. In closer games, which I totally expect this one with the Chargers to be at least close, that you know, Derek Gore might not even see a single touch. So it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it's Darrell Williams. Don't be faked out by the Derek Gore stats. Just get Darrell Williams on your bench. Things are looking up.
100%.
You are tuning in to the Fantasy Hot Read Week 15 preview. Crazy, this is already Week 15. Crazy to think we've already done 15 of these. The season goes by too fast. I'm your host, Adam F. Tyler O., joined by one of my most favorite co-hosts here, Jake at Jake Perry 34. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, man. Let's keep trucking along. We have Saturday games, folks. So if you're listening to this, something to think about is you need to set those lineups on Saturday. We have a 4:30 game and an 8:15 game. I know they sneak up on people. I feel like almost every year in one of my leagues, somebody forgets. And especially with the Colts, because the Colts were on bye last week. New England was on a bye last week, and they play on Saturday. So if you got one of those New England or Colts players and they're sitting on your bench for the bye, likely should be, get them in your lineups now, or remember to do it on Saturday, because the last thing you want to do in your playoff is leave one of these dudes sitting on your bench because you forgot there were games on Saturday. So this is your warning. There is Saturday games. Raiders and Browns. Browns, man, there's a lot to talk about here.
I mean, Nick Chubb might be their only starter that's healthy. Like, there's
– yeah, it's bad.
Landry's out, Hooper's out, Njoku's out, Baker's out. All probably out, I should say. I guess they could still
test negative tests twice, but it's, yeah, if they're vaccinated and they get two negative tests within 24-hour period, they can play, but it's a lot to hope for.
Yeah, regardless,
we don't know their vaccination status.
Exactly.
You know,
You're it's a prayer that some of these guys are going to be healthy. And let's be real, Nick Chubb was already really the only Brown that you were confidently starting at this point in the year, and that continues to be the case. I guess my kind of thing, especially like what you were talking about, Tyler, where you want to stash some of these running backs at this point in the year, that's really kind of what you're doing with your bench. It's a lot of the same of what I'm doing with my bench. And especially with the Kareem Hunt injury, D'Ernest Johnson should be on your bench if he's available in your league. He's available in over 24%, or he's only rostered in 24% of ESPN leagues. So he's out there. We've seen what he can do in regular duty. And at the rate at which these guys have been testing positive, there's a non-zero chance that Chubb ends up on the list. There's a non-zero chance that D'Ernest ends up on that list too, but I'm starting Nick Chubb. I'm not starting literally anybody else on that roster if I am not forced to. And then I'm picking up D'Ernest just kind of as a, he could be Kareem Hunt, he could be nothing, but at least he's there if I need him.
And we've seen him do well when given the opportunity, which I think is always an important aspect when you're looking at these like insurance backs. Like, yeah, you could pick up like a Justin Jackson and be like, ah, he's an insurance back, but we were pretty confident like that would be a split and it just wouldn't be good. But we've seen D'Ernest Johnson take some volume and do well with it. So I like the call there. The Raiders, there's nothing really sneaky here. You're starting Jacobs due to volume. Renfro's been on fire. Looks like Waller's still out. But I guess what I will say is the Raiders' defense special teams is in play. Like, they're absolutely in play. If you're in a pinch, if you miss some of those, you know, top-tier defensive players, maybe you're in one of those leagues where you got some guys that like to roster two defenses. They do exist. I'm playing them right now, for better or worse. But the Raiders are absolutely in play. One, because a lot of their guys are out. Like, they're playing a backup quarterback. Their starting wide receiver's out. And I think what really leads me to the Raiders is they're going to be without their left tackle in Wills, their right guard in Teller, both very good. And Jack Conklin's out with, I believe, a knee injury. And one thing that we do know about the Raiders is they've had a damn good pass rush. They get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and they're playing pretty much an entire backup offensive line. So who I believe Case Keenum is in line to be the starter in this one. So with that said, he could be under pressure all day, and this could be tough for the Browns to move the ball. You know, if these guys all do sit out, like 21 points is probably tough for the Browns to pull off in this one. Could be a lot of sacks, could be some interceptions. So the Raiders defense is a fringe top 10 play for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's been hard for the Browns to pull off 21 points when everybody's healthy at different points in the year. I mean, yeah, that's I like that as like a sneaky play. I'm glad I also have a defensive mention in here, so I'm glad I'm not the only one. But yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You're starting the volume guys, and then that defense becomes a really sneaky play for you.
Yeah, I mean, I usually don't talk about defenses, but like we're talking about the playoffs now, and every position counts just a little bit more. Exactly. So. You really got to hone in and really think about these matchup decisions, because one bad move, it could quite literally be your last. It's just the way it works. One and done. Oh, man. New England Patriots at the Indianapolis Colts. These are two teams that have been quite hot lately, playing some good football, man. Colts.
I'm starting Jonathan Taylor, and I'm fading everybody else if I have options. Michael Pittman, he's maybe a flex option for me, but if I have better receivers, I'm starting them. The Patriots have allowed zero wide receiver one or two games on the season. They have not even allowed a wide receiver two to be a thing. They have the second best EPA per play defense in football. They've been one of the best pass defenses in football, one of the best overall defenses in football. They become a very good option to start as well, as they have been for a few weeks here. They weren't my defensive mention, but they're definitely an option as well. You know, if you can shut down the Colts, if you can get Taylor stuffed a little bit early and build a decent lead and force them to pass against you to come back, it's a little bit harder for them to compete. And just with how good New England's been, I'm really like Jonathan Taylor. Again, you're starting your studs. You're starting Jonathan Taylor. Pittman's been kind of a back end receiver, you know, for a while anyway. He kind of cooled off a little bit after the hot start. So, you know, if I have a better option for him, then I'm definitely, you know, sitting Pittman this week. Like a guy you just mentioned, Hunter Renfro. If my choice is Renfro or Pittman, I'm starting Renfro right now. I'm just going to ride the hot hand there.
New England side of the football, it's tough. It looks like Damien, like at first it looked like Damien Harris might sit to a hamstring, but he did resume practicing on Tuesday. So it looks like we'll get our Harris, Rhamondre Stevenson split. I'm okay with starting either as a flex play. I lean Harris but I think both of them should get enough volume to justify a decent flex play as top 36 running backs this week. The one thing that I will say is the Colts defense has been top 10 against enemy wide receivers, and they really don't have any wide receivers that you're excited about starting anyway. So, like, sorry, Meyer, sorry, Bourne, sorry, Aguilar, it's not happening. I know that there is a bit of a split between Janu and Hunter Henry lately, but I will say that the Colts give up the seventh most points to the tight end position. So I do have some interest in Hunter Henry getting him back in my lineups at the tight end position.
Definitely. Yeah. Janu was kind of my biggest miss of the year. I really thought he would be the guy that kind of took over that split there. But it's been Henry this year. He's, I know going into last week, he was tight end four on the year. I don't know what he's, you know, sitting at currently now, but he's been fine in the end zone. He's been, you know, consistently putting up points, and it's definitely going to be nice to get him back in lineups.
Moving to our Sunday games, folks. Those are the Saturday games. Reminder again, Carolina at Buffalo. Don't really expect a crazy game here. I mean, the Panthers defense is their strength, but their defense is good. I mean, sorry, their defense is strength, offense is bad. Buffalo's defense is their strength, offense is good. Like, I think this is a game where it's just it's a low scoring one. I don't expect a lot of scoring in this one, but either way, you got the Bills. I'll talk about the Panthers.
Obviously, you're starting Stephon Diggs. That's the no-brainer here. But the other one, this is where my defensive mention comes in, and it is this Bills defense. This Panthers offense is in shambles. They started off the year looking really good. Sam Darnold was surprising everybody. CMC was healthy. DJ Moore was putting up numbers. But we're to the point in the year where that's not really happening. Like, Robbie Anderson, you called for it for like 4 weeks. All it took was Cam showing up, and now Robbie Anderson is kind of startable on the other side of the ball. But, you know, you're really not paying attention to anybody else. Carolina's been really good against tight ends. So, you know, Dawson Knox, maybe he's a desperation play if you don't have a better tight end option there. I guess Devin Singletary kind of comes into a flex option there. He's been kind of the lead running back. Nobody has been a great running back in that offense, though. You know, Matt Breida had his one 13-point week, and then nothing since. Zach Moss has been a consistent, healthy scratch here and there. Singletary is the only active option. If you're desperate, if you're super desperate, he's a flex play. But, like, Buffalo's defense and Stephon Diggs and obviously Josh Allen are really your only guys where I'm like, yeah, these guys are going in my lineup.
Yeah. And Emmanuel Sanders is a drop at this point, folks. He had a great start to a season, but you do not need to have him on your roster. Panthers side of the ball, I mean, you kind of teed it up for me here. There's a platoon at the quarterback position, which isn't good. And it's a platoon between two rushing quarterbacks that don't have great arms. So that doesn't bode well for any of the other pieces. There's never been a tight end there at all. Like, Chuba Hubbard and Amir Abdullah are splitting things. Like, I think that in a desperation play, they could be worth something. I mean, Chuba is getting he's like the lead rusher there, but Amir's getting the pass work. So it's just kind of like that coupled with the fact that there's rushing quarterbacks who don't throw well. It's tough. You did mention Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson did have a hell of a week last week. That was DJ Moore went down with a hamstring injury. He's still questionable for this week. If DJ Moore does not suit up, I do think Robbie Anderson is startable. He had 12 targets. 7 for 84 and a touchdown. His whopper rate was pretty damn high. It was at 0.82. I think it was top 5 in the week, which was great to see. And the one thing that I will say about Robbie Anderson, more narrative-driven than anything, is we have seen him close seasons very strong. So, I'm definitely not even looking Robbie Anderson's way if DJ Moore's out there. But without DJ Moore, the ball has to go somewhere, as I like to say. And Robbie Anderson is worth a flex play. He'll be in my top 36 wide receivers if DJ Moore sits.
100%, yeah. And especially, you know, Chuba Hubbard and Amir Abdullah are not pulling targets the way that CMC was. And I know we always say targets are earned, you know, they aren't just given. But Robbie Anderson, even earlier in the year, if you actually, like, watched, like, the All-22 and paid attention, he was getting open consistently, and Sam Darnold just was not processing the field well and just wasn't getting him the ball. And now it seems like somehow, even with worse maybe QBs, that's happening. But again, if DJ Moore is not out there, like, Robbie's the wide receiver one on that team, and he's the guy that you're going to, you know, throw him into your flex and hope you get 12.
Or deep ball. Could be lucky. Cardinals at the Lions. Lions, give it to me. Give me the good news. All these starters.
Hey, there's a couple. There's really one. There's two if lucky. If DeAndre Swift is healthy and playing, obviously he's going right back into your lineups and you're not thinking twice about it. I'm fading the Craig Reynolds random hype that came out of nowhere. I didn't even know the man was – who he was. I'm going to be honest with you. And then I started Jamar Jefferson in a league because I was desperate. And then Craig Reynolds goes for like 80 yards. It be that way sometimes. But Amon-Ross St. Brown has forced his way into kind of being a solid flex option over the last couple weeks. 12 targets each of the last two games, including 3 red zone targets. Arizona's most susceptible against pass catchers. They've given up 6 wide receiver 1 or 2 games on the year. And their defense hasn't – it started the season really, really hot and just hasn't continued that pace throughout the rest of the season at this point. Amon-Ra and Goff have seemingly built up some level of consistency there, mm-hmm. which is really great for him. You know, I was a huge Amon-Ra guy coming out of the draft, and he's finally seeing those targets. And, you know, again, in a situation where the Lions are going to be playing from behind, let's be real, that this defense cannot contain these guys. It's not – the Lions defense isn't containing Kyler Murray, and even without DeAndre Hopkins, like, it's just not going to happen. So Amon-Ra St. Brown should continue to see the volume that he's seen the last couple of weeks, and he's worked his way into a solid flex play for me.
Cardinals out of the ball. Hopkins out for the year with a knee injury. You absolutely hate to see it. I know it wasn't the best game out of Kyler, but this still is a pretty elite offense that does set up A.J. Green and Kirk Cousins to do pretty well. I mean, this offense is going to look kind of different. No Hopkins, and then Edmonds is looking like he's coming back. Connor's been absolutely smash RB1 since Edmonds went down. A lot of that is because he's not only getting the goal line work like he has all season, but he's also getting the pass work. I do expect Edmonds to take some of that pass work away. This is not to say, you know, Connor's not a starter. He's still a smash, but just something to note. You know, I think this is like one of those times you look at your waiver wire. Check if A.J. Green's around, check if Christian Kirk's around. Even Rondell Moore, I wouldn't start Rondell Moore just considering his routes have not been up. They've been using him as a gadget guy. It's kind of tough for me to understand why, but at the end of the day, A.J. Green and Kirk are both in a position to really close out the season early. So both of those two wide receivers, if available, are some of my ads that I'm trying to get on that bench and possibly even start in this game against the Lions.
Yeah, I mean – I think A.J. Green is probably the sneaky play there. I think he's the one who truly steps into the DeAndre Hopkins role. And with Kyler back, the passing game has, you know, it looked a lot better last week than it has in quite some time. I love Christian Kirk. I will always love Christian Kirk. So he's always, you know, going to be one of those guys that I'm going to throw into the flex. And I'm going to be ecstatic when he drops 18. And I'm going to cry, but also not be surprised when he drops 4. But, you know, there again, it's an offense with a lot of tools there. So you are kind of almost playing the luck game about do I pick the right guy this week, except for James Conner. If you've had James Conner all year, you're probably doing pretty all right.
Jets at the Dolphins. Dolphins.
Tua becomes a very, very solid option this week. The Jets have been one of the worst pass defenses in football. In fact, they've been the worst pass defense in football by EPA per play. And the Jets have given up the most quarterback one games in fantasy this year as well. Tua becomes almost top eight or nine quarterback option for me this week. There's very few guys I'm going to start over him. Devontae Parker looks like he's going to be back finally. Jalen Waddle's been producing. Mike Gesicki's been producing. You're hoping the running backs come off the COVID list so that you can at least have, you know, Gaskin or Ahmed in there. So you're not hoping that, you know, he's out there with Duke Johnson and Jared Doakes. But that might be the case. And if that's the case, they are going to go very pass heavy, in my opinion. And, you know, Tua and Waddle are smashes. Gesicki's a smash start there. And Parker probably slots in as like a low end flex play for me. But, you know, again, if it's Parker or Pittman this week, I'm probably starting Parker.
Jets side of the ball, always tough with Corey Davis and Elijah Moore out. I just don't have any interest with any of these wide receivers. I mean, Crowder has been interesting, but I'm not doing it. The piece I will say is it looked like Michael Carter might be back. If he is back, even if he isn't back, there's no sense in rostering Ty Johnson or Tevin Coleman at this point. I mean, they both had their chances, and it's been pretty ugly. I mean, I think Ty Johnson had like a 74% snap rate last week as a pure starter. Like, that's great and has really nothing to show for it. So, for me, it's Michael Carter's back. Don't bother rostering any of these Jets going forward. It's just an ugly offense that's not moving. Michael Carter is the only one that I have interest in.
100%. That's all I can say. They just, there's nothing exciting about that team right now.
Cowboys, Giants. Giants, Jake.
My exact notes here say maybe Sterling Shepard, mark. Maybe. I don't know. I hate it here. Like, there's nothing exciting about this team. Like, they are consistently just underperforming. No guys are putting up good games. Obviously, Saquon, if he's healthy and you have Saquon, you're starting him. There's no question about that. But it looks like Daniel Jones isn't going to be playing, so we're going to get either a Mike Glennon or a Jake Fromm game yet again. He looked fine. I had to start him in a couple Superflex leagues just because I was desperate and had other injuries. But, you know, really, you know, it's just not a great matchup. It's they're much like the Jets right now. Like, you're kind of just avoiding it if at all possible. You know, this is a Dallas team. They've been much better against the pass than against the run recently than they've been against the pass, but they do have that home run ability against the pass to try and, you know, you're probably going to throw an interception to Trevon Diggs. Like, it's just going to happen. Just accept it. Micah Parsons is turning into Lawrence Taylor 2.0, and he's just going to wreak havoc against that terrible offensive line. Like, if I have other options, I'm not starting a Giant this week besides Saquon.
Cowboys, you're starting Lamb, Cooper, and Gallup. No problem here. My concern is around Dalton Schultz. He seems to have been fallen to the wayside with Gallup coming back. They really seem to be focused on these three wide receivers. Dalton Schultz saw 3 targets for 1 catch and 4 yards. I mean, he's still running routes at 89% clip, which is actually pretty elite for a tight end. But it seems like these three wide receivers are the first option. So I'm not dropping Dalton Schultz necessarily, but like, if there's some strong streamers in the pool, Dalton Schultz is outside of the top 12 for me this week, and I might be looking elsewhere just considering the matchup. And you know, I just think he being the fourth option here on an offense that's not as good, but not as good as we thought, is just not it.
Yeah, Gallup coming back really forced Lamb back into the slot role, which is taking away a lot of those targets that Schultz was getting just from being open in the middle of the field. Dak also hasn't looked great. Like, let's be honest here. The man has not been playing his best football as of late. You know, Cooper's still getting the ball. Like you said, Lamb's still getting the ball. Gallup's still getting the ball. Like, those guys are fine, but I'm with you on Schultz. Like, there's other options that I'll talk about a little later on in this list. You know, a couple tight ends that I think are viable options and might be available, you know, even in some really deep leagues. There's some guys that I'd start over Schultz right now, which if you asked me that 6 weeks ago, I'd tell you it was crazy.
Yeah, exactly, man. Washington football team, Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles, hit me.
So obviously this game, as most of the games are at this point, are going to be very dependent on health. If Jalen Hurts is healthy, it sounds like he's dealing with a high ankle sprain, which, as we know, is the worst for guys who rely on their mobility. Mm-hmm. If he's healthy, though, you're probably starting him if he's on your team. You know, we know the upside he has. We know the floor that he has. His floor is higher than most people's in football, but a lot of that does come from his rushing. That being said, you know, this is a team that's been susceptible to the pass. So if Hurts is healthy, I'm comfortable starting him, and I'm comfortable starting Devonta Smith. I'm not really comfortable elsewhere. If Gardner Minshew plays, I think he becomes a sneaky quarterback option as well, especially in deeper leagues or two quarterback leagues. I think he's a solid start over a lot of guys. And we saw the rapport that he clearly has with Dallas Goedert. And even though they've been very good against the tight end this year, I'm going to start Goedert and I'm going to just accept it. And he's going to go for 100, you know, 102 again, or he's going to go for 345-1, but I feel like he's going to find his way into the end zone if Minshew plays.
Washington football team is just, it's pretty ugly right now with Logan Thomas out. RSJ and Bates are in a split. Terry had a pretty bad concussion. Hope he's doing well. I'm not hopeful. Obviously, if Terry's healthy, we're starting him, but the rest of wide receivers I have no interest in. Gibson, I mean, he's probably the only one that I comfortably start on the Washington football team. We are benching the rest.
Yeah, 100%. I started Ricky Seals-Jones last week. Regret that one. You know, even last week, nobody really, even Gibson didn't have a great game. You know, Ron Rivera, the second you fumble a ball, he wants you to be back in college, basically. So, you know, you just don't get the looks that he deserves. And it's one of those situations where I get what you're trying to do, okay? But this is not the 80s. That shit doesn't work anymore. Like, a guy's not going to learn if you don't give him chances. And Gibson's your only chance to win a football game if Terry's out. I'm sorry. He really is. Like, he's the only elite athlete on that team. He's the only guy who's got home run potential that's healthy. Like, he needs to be getting the ball a lot more regardless of the situation. But, you know, again, just a non-exciting team for fantasy right now.
Tennessee Titans surprisingly playing well with the litany of injuries against the Steelers.
For me, Claypool and Deontay have to be in your lineups. They absolutely have to be. Tennessee has been wide receiver's dream this year. They've been the worst team in fantasy football against wide receivers. Ben has looked surprisingly decent as of late. I'm on the Ben Roethlisberger league winner train right now. Get him in your lineups as well. He's been a top. He's been a quarterback one since week 8 on the season. He's been a top 8 quarterback for quite some time right now, and that's just because their team is bad. They're playing from behind. They're throwing the ball a lot, and their pass catchers are super talented. So get Claypool and Deontay into your lineups. Pat's probably in that conversation too. Pat's a guy, like, if my choices are Schultz or Pat,
I'm just about to say
starting Pat. Like, yep. it's he's one of those guys that, like, I just feel like has to be in over Schultz right now. Claypool has been hated from his from everything that happened at the end of that last game, but also
whatever.
They're not in that position to win that game if it's not for Chase Claypool. I think just get Chase and Deontay into your lineups and just call it a day, and then deal with all your other problems that you're having on your team because everybody else is hurt or sick.
Yeah, I would comfortably put Freiermuth into that, like, must start as well. So yeah. I'm with you on those three, no doubt, Najee. Tennessee. I mean, things are bad here. At this point in time, I don't even know if I'm starting Julio Jones, man. Like, I mean, I'm probably flexing him if he's healthy. But at the same time, if you benched him, I wouldn't, like I think, like, a legitimate question, if no DJ Moore this week, Robbie Anderson or Julio Jones. Like, it's a fair question, and that's insane. I guess what I will say here, Tannehill hasn't scored over 22 fantasy points all season long. While he's been somewhat consistent, and he's only been under 10 points, I think, twice. Tannehill is rostered in 65% of Yahoo leagues. Justin Fields is rostered in 22%. I would straight up drop Tannehill for Justin Fields for the playoff run. Thoughts on that?
100%. As a Bears fan, they finally let him do what he needs to do a little bit. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later here, but yeah, if Fields is on my waiver wire right now, he's not going to be very shortly because he's going to be on my roster.
Love it. So Tannehill, not the guy I'm looking to take. I'd rather take Taysom with me to the playoffs. I'd rather take Fields with me in the playoffs than Tannehill. He's fine, but just he's not what I'm looking for to win at all.
I'd rather have Cam than Tannehill right now. Cam hasn't been that great.
Fair enough. Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars in a game when one team will very likely win. Jags.
I love the way that you put that because neither team probably should. It's they suck. Let's be real. Urban Meyer is a joke. I don't know how the man has a job in the NFL, and I don't, given everything that's going on currently. But I guess, you know, you're hoping that J-Rob's usage starts to make sense again. Will it? Probably not. You probably don't have a better option than James Robinson to put into your lineups right now anyway. So he's going to find his way in there, even if it's as a flex option. And then I guess if you're looking at somewhere else, I think James O'Shaughnessy becomes a sneaky play. You know, Lawrence has kind of favored his tight ends when they are in there. They see a pretty consistent amount of targets. But then otherwise, you're just crying and praying that Marvin Jones Jr. is a solid wide receiver 3 on the week, and you just get lucky that he scored some points for you. Like, it's just – this is a game where if I could just be like, let's just not play it, just give both teams a loss and call it a day, I don't think anybody would complain.
Okay, so Houston Texans, I think, so it's going to be, it's always Cooks or nothing. But at this point in time, I think there is an actual case that can be made for Royce Freeman. Looks like Rex Burkhead is absolutely out, which pretty much leaves David Johnson and Freeman. Freeman, the thing that I like about Freeman is he was the preferred pass catching back for this team. So there's something to be said there. He had 11 carries for only 15 yards, sucks, but 8 targets for 6 for 51 and with no Rex Burkhead in the picture, I know you might be a little desperate, but I think Royce Freeman is flex worthy against just, not every week, but just against this Jacksonville team. I mean, especially if the Houston Texans go up, I'm here for a Royce Freeman spot start, I should say.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Bengals. Broncos.
Oh, man. This is a team that should be so much better than it is and should have such better fantasy output than it does, but they don't. Teddy Bridgewater just doesn't pass the ball that much. The two running backs are in a split, so you're hoping for RB2 numbers out of them. So really, Noah Fant kind of sneakily becomes your best option this week, as does Albert O in really deep leagues. Cincinnati's a bottom seven team in football against the tight end. That's the position that they are most susceptible to. Noah Fant and Albert O are two of the most athletic tight ends in football, two guys who could probably play the wide receiver position pretty well in the NFL. And giving them a matchup against a team that isn't great against the position, after the week they had last year, Fant was one of the better pass catchers. Albert O might have led the team. I know he had like 5 for nearly 50 yards and a touchdown. Like I think he's a sneaky option where, like, if my choices are Albert O or Dalton Schultz this week, I'm really thinking about Albert O. Like, just with the way that Cincinnati is playing right now, like, I'm taking the chance there, and it's either going to be a boom or bust play, but I'm going to take that risk. That's like one of the tight end is probably the position I'm taking the most risks on in the playoffs. And when I have a matchup like this, like, that's really my option. I'm not playing. Sutton shouldn't be on a roster right now. Like, he should not be on a fantasy football roster, which is depressing to say.
Yes, it is.
Jerry Jeudy, he's probably a low flex. Like, just the volume's just not there. They're giving 30, 40 carries a game to Gordon and Javonte, and you're just out of options there. So the tight ends become your best bet.
Bengals, Samaje Perine needs to be rostered. He's like one of those preferred insurance backs that we've talked about up there with Daryl Henderson. So, that's pretty much all it comes down to. Samaje Perine, he's been getting some looks. I know that the points aren't there in the box score, but at the same time, we know this is a run-heavy offense, for better or worse, and more so that we know Perine is that guy in case something happens to Mixon. So Perine needs to be sitting on your bench for this playoff run.
Yeah, 100%. Agree wholeheartedly.
Falcons, 49ers. You got the good side, 49ers.
Everyone. If you have Ayuk, you're starting him. If you have Debo, you're starting him. If Elijah Mitchell is healthy and playing, you're starting him. If you have George Kittle, you're starting him. Jimmy G becomes a startable quarterback option as well, following up last week's finish as a quarterback one. Like, this is an Atlanta defense that's not good. They're susceptible at every level, in every position. How this team is not one of the worst teams in football, I do not understand. Great on Arthur Smith for making this team somewhat competitive in the games that they play, but their defense is so susceptible at every level. Like, if you have the matchup against Atlanta, you're getting those guys into your lineup and not thinking twice about it. Like, there's, you know, I'm starting Ayuk over Pittman. I'm starting Debo over just about anybody. Elijah Mitchell, if he's healthy, he's at worst a high-end RB2.
At worst,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, at worst, he's going to finish as running back 14 or better. Kittle has looked like the best tight end in football. I believe he's got the most. I think he is tight end one on the year in points per game, if I'm not mistaken.
Points per game, yeah.
He's just shown out now that he's back and fully healthy, doing everything that he needs to do. And Jimmy's got one of the sneakiest floors amongst quarterbacks in football. So especially in like two quarterback super flex leagues where, you know, you're kind of just looking for that floor in your quarterback two slot, Jimmy G slots in there so perfectly. And if your options were like, you know, if you have Lamar, he's at risk of missing the game. Hurts is at risk of missing this week's game, too. There's just not some great matchups for some of the quarterbacks. You know, guys like Ben Roethlisberger and Jimmy G become, you know, sneaky deep plays that might win you the week.
Falcons. Cordell Patterson. I guess you're starting Pitts. Like, it's tough because, like, he's seeing enough volume and running enough routes to where it's tough to bench him. Like, for who? Like, I doubt there's a better option out there, but still not happy. I guess, like, the one piece is I'm sticking to Russell Gage. I don't necessarily think he's a great wide receiver. Had a couple really nice plays last week, but he's had a 22% target share over the last 3 weeks, and that's enough to justify a flex spot. And he's been in double digits in PPR league, so it's Patterson, Pitts, and Gage, and I'm not interested in anyone else. This is just, like, as you mentioned, it's an ugly offense.
Yeah, it's... There's nothing fun about it. Do you think Mike Davis kind of sneaks into that desperate flex play option with his he's been better as of late,
yes.
But are you confident?
I'm not trusting it. No, I'm not trusting it. Yeah, he has had some good games as of late, but no. I can't bring myself to start Mike Davis at this point. So I know the stats have been there recently, but no.
Good enough.
Seahawks, Rams. Rams coming off a big win.
Yes, they are. And again, another game that's going to come down to who's healthy. If Henderson is healthy and he's able to play, you're starting him. If Sony Michel is the lead back, you're starting him. We're talking about the Seahawks being a bottom three team against running backs for fantasy purposes, giving up some of the most points to running back position. Obviously, Cooper Kupp, you're starting him. Yeah, if Higbee's active, he should be good to go. Mm-hmm. His was a false positive, but I'm a known Higbee hater. I'm not starting him if I have other options. This is where it does kind of get interesting, though. I might consider starting him over Dalton Schultz.
Like, there you go.
That's how bad Schultz looks right now. So Higbee, depending on your roster, becomes a little bit startable. When it comes to the other wide receivers, too, I think Odell has to be in your lineup as a flex if you have him at this point. He's come back. He's the Odell that we have been missing for the past few years. So he very easily comes back and becomes a very playable start.
Seattle. Gerald Everett's out for me. Will Disley snaps are up. Targets are up. Not a streamer. You got to start DK. Probably don't love it. Lockett start. I guess like it's just Rashad Penny. I mean, it's not a surprise. He was like the hot waiver wire ad. Had a hell of a game last week. I don't expect him to do that every week, but if there's a running back that's going to get decent volume and decent snaps on Seattle, they're probably going to be valuable because for some reason or not, the Seattle Seahawks are still going to commit to the run. So it is an odd thing to say, but I am comfortable with Rashad Penny in the playoffs as a flex play.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You know, it's always great to see him kind of deal with all the injury adversity that he has and be mm-hmm. able to perform. But again, you're talking about, like we've talked about so many times today, it seems like just bad offense. Like Russ hasn't looked phenomenal since coming back. The volume has at least been there for DK, even though the connection hasn't been there. He's basically been matching Lockett target for target, which has been pretty solid. But Lockett's obviously doing a lot more there. But I'm not surprised that Rashad Penny has beat out Travis Homer, DJ Dallas, Alex Collins. Like, these are guys who barely should be on an NFL roster.
Yeah,
Rashad Penny, if he's healthy, again, he's got kind of, I think, that Mitchell floor right now just because of how much that offense is going to use him, whether they want to or not.
Green Bay, Ravens. Could be a good one here. Depends if Lamar plays, but that's on you, Ravens.
Yet again, another one who's healthy. If Lamar is healthy, obviously he's going to be in your lineup. And I'm probably starting Hollywood and Mark Andrews. If Tyler Huntley's healthy, I'm starting Bateman and Mark Andrews, and I'm not starting Huntley. Like, the volume will be – Huntley had probably the best connection we've seen Rashad Bateman have this year. The volume was there. He put up his first 100-yard performance. Like, Bateman with Huntley looks like a really good option. Lamar and him just don't get along right now for whatever reason. Call it Lamar's processing speed. Call it his questionable passing as of late. Like, there's just a lot of reasons behind it, I think. But again, this is just going to boil down to health. Like, that's the name of the game this year, and especially this week, is who's healthy. You're hoping Lamar's healthy. It's going to be a lot better game if he is. But if he's not, you know, Mark Andrews has to be in your lineup. Bateman, if Huntley, wide receiver 3, if not Huntley, flex maybe.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel you on that. Green Bay is a little more simple for me. I feel comfortable at this point in time starting AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones. I mean, Aaron Jones obviously, but AJ Dillon's at least getting the work, and he's been getting some high value touches as of late. And it's Devontae. The one thing I say is, like, I'm not going to play the guessing game between Lazard and MVS. You know, the volume is decent. They've both had decent games, but like, I just don't want to risk it. We just know there's just better options on that offense. And I don't know. My take here is just not risking it, not playing Lazard or MVS.
Yeah. I mean, Lazard, maybe the deep flex play. Like, if your opponent's going to score 230 points on you, and you desperately just need a boom or bust game, like, that's the only way that MVS becomes even rosterable, in my opinion. Like, he's so boom or bust. Like, you're putting him in there out of a prayer where you snuck into the playoffs. You were the sixth seed. You averaged 112 points a game through the season and just snuck in because your matchups were good. Like, there's so few options outside of the top guys there, which isn't totally surprising given Aaron Rodgers' entire career has kind of been that way. But, yeah. You know, you're starting your guys there. Everybody else is a bye-bye.
Saints, Bucks, Jake.
I guess this is maybe my call of the week.
Okay.
Tom Brady has legitimate quarterback one upside this week. Like, the quarterback one. We are talking about a team that gives up the most points to quarterbacks in football. The Saints defense has been bad. They have not been good. The Saints team has not been good. Taysom is a great starting, a great fantasy player, but he is not a good NFL quarterback. Their wide receivers are all hurt or suspended. Kamara's finally back. That's great. That's where that team ends. Like, the defense hasn't been good. Tom Brady has the best pass catching core in football. You know, all of Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, they're all startable players here as well. Leonard Fournette should be in your lineups. Like, there's, this offense is so good, and this Saints D has been so susceptible to giving up a lot of points that I am just, Tom Brady's might finish as the quarterback one. He probably won't. I'm probably wrong, but it's my call. I'm going to say it. Why not?
I like it. I mean, he's done it before. Wouldn't shock me. Saints, I mean, like, again, I feel like I don't have a hot takes here today, but it's like, it's Taysom. Don't watch the game, but he'll get there for you. And Kamara, like, don't, the way with Taysom in there, there's just no pass catchers worth anything. I know, like, Vinette had six targets. Like, don't stream him. Like, Marcus Callaway, no. Like, Laquan Treadwell, not. Like, just no. No pass catcher. It's Kamara and Taysom, and we're moving along.
Yep.
Monday Night Football. Vikings, Bears, man. I gave you the Bears. Give me some good takes here. Give me something.
Of course, the Bears finally, like, have a decent fantasy matchup in Week 15 when we're eliminated from playoff contention. We're just counting down the days until our head coach gets fired and our general manager and our president of football ops and basically everybody. Just fire everybody. But Justin Fields, David Montgomery, and Darnell Mooney are your real startable options here. Minnesota is very bad against quarterbacks, very bad against wide receivers. Darnell Mooney has one of the highest drop rates in football right now, which has been normally I don't harp on drop rates too much, but watching the games, he has very clearly hurt the Bears. He was the cause of both of Fields' interceptions last week. Just poor route running, poor use of his hands. But he's the wide receiver one in this offense. Allen Robinson does not care to be playing football right now. He is out there to get a paycheck and nothing else. So Mooney, he becomes a solid flex, low-end wide receiver three for me, wide receiver two upside. He may even, you know, crack the top one if this Minnesota defense plays as bad as it has been playing. That being said, the Bears offensive line is dealing with what the entire league is dealing with right now. You know, Simmons looks like he might be the starting right tackle for the game. This is a Vikings defense that is one of the best pressure rates in football. You know, they've been getting to the opposing quarterback. Monty's going to be in quite a bit because you're going to need him. You're going to need some of the run game to slow down this pass rush a little bit for Justin Fields. But given how bad this team has been, this Vikings team has been against pass catchers and quarterbacks, like, I'm getting Fields into my lineup. He's a top, probably a top six quarterback for me this week. Maybe that's the take of the week too. I don't know. But, you know, it's your typical guys here. But Allen Robinson probably shouldn't be rostered. Cole Kmet probably shouldn't be rostered. If you're not going to start Jakeem Grant and pray for another punt return touchdown and another 50-yard touch pass that goes to the house. It's, you're limited here.
Vikings. If Thielen's out, I am pretty cool with rolling out KJ Osborne once again. I know people point, hey, just had that one touchdown, long touchdown. Well, 91% routes on dropbacks, elite. 29% target share, elite. 125 air yards. There's enough to go around with Justin Jefferson, absolutely alpha in everybody. So KJ, if Thielen's out, continue rolling out KJ Osborne with confidence. And then final side note, if Madison for some reason has been dropped, I don't know why. He's another high priority waiver ad. Same with Pollard. I didn't mention it before, but if Pollard got dropped because of injury again, a very much a high priority waiver ad for these running backs. So
with Madison testing positive, does Nwangu, probably butchered his last name. Does he become like a desperate, like true desperation play?
It's a good question. I probably wouldn't play him though. I mean, but he could. You know, it'd be unfortunate for you to watch this happen, but he could run the kickoff return back on your Bears.
I wouldn't be surprised. Their special team is terrible.
No, I mean, I'm probably not going to roster him, but because I think Madison will be back the following week. All right, that will do it. Week 15 preview. Final thoughts, week 15, Jake.
a lot of good games, a lot of really boring games, but it's fantasy playoff time. That's what matters. My piece of advice is always start your guys, follow your gut. If you have a feeling, take the feeling and be wrong versus not taking the feeling and then regretting leaving a big game on your bench. If you think you see something in the matchup that you like, follow your gut. You know, we follow the numbers. We look at all of these things, and even us, we just have gut feelings sometimes, and sometimes you just got to follow them.
All right, Jake, where can I find your work? Where can I find you on Twitter?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at JakePerry34. You can check out my articles, my sleeper articles on JWB Fantasy Football. And otherwise, you can follow my podcast, which is on a very brief hiatus right now, but we'll be back very shortly, aka this week, at Two Average Husbands on socials. It's the number 2 AVG Husbands. And you can find us on Spotify and iTunes by just typing out Two Average Husbands.
And Jake, thanks again so much for jumping on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for your time.
Always happy to be here, man.
And you can find me on Twitter at FFTylero. That's all we have today, folks. Don't forget, tell somebody you love them. Later.